Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, and we're getting ready for a Green Bay Packers game this Sunday, week two, against the Carolina Panthers. Has everybody heard enough about Cam Newton yet? I swear, I haven't heard as much about an individual opponent, I don't know, ever. That's all I've heard about this week is Cam Newton, Cam Newton, Cam Newton. And nothing against the guy, he had a good week one game. You just think it's the Packers versus Cam Newton, not the Packers versus the Panthers. I got nothing against the guy, I'm just sick of hearing about it everywhere I go. But anyhow, thanks for joining us today, everyone. We're going to debut our weekly interview with Packers defensive lineman Jarius Wynn. So excited about that. That's coming in a little while. In the meantime, let's get to today's news. We follow along every morning with the Packers Daily Links. I left a link to it up at the top of the live blog today. So feel free to scroll on up. And by the way, your comments are being approved. But if you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, all your comments will get through to the show. So just feel free to tweet away. But getting to this morning's Packers Daily Links, the top story today. Three news outlets examined the Packers' use of the back shoulder throw. Kind of interesting. This article has been a long time coming. Kind of interesting that it comes all at once here at the same time from three different news outlets. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Green Bay Press Gazette, and ESPNMilwaukee.com all having articles about it. And boy, is it a weapon. You know, this is just something that Aaron Rodgers and his receivers have perfected. And you know, this is something that comes about when guys have been working together for years. I mean, this is why the Packers are now so good, and why, you know, people talked about, you know, the lack of an offseason in the NFL, you know, having offseason practices, OTAs, mini camps, things like that with new coaches and new quarterbacks, because it just takes a rapport between a quarterback and a receiver to get something like this, you know, perfected more or less. You know, it comes about when they work together for many years and get to know each other and have a feel for each other. And anyway, if you click the link for this morning's Packers Daily Links, we can't put it on our broadcast player anymore. We're just going with the single screen option that you'll see Railbird Central Live. But anyhow, you know, the quote here from Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reads like this, quote, "It's also become one of this offense's go-to weapons in a hurry, the back shoulder throw. After years of burning defenses with the deep ball, Rodgers' pinpoint accuracy has led to timely back shoulder throws this season. The play is an obvious sign of just how far Mike McCarthy's offense has come, as it's complete football telepathy." So, yeah, I mean, just amazing how this is, you know, the Packers use this probably more than any team in the NFL. And I know Jason Wilde really examined a little bit in depth how the Packers kind of, maybe not got it from, but, you know, Packers fans saw it first, or at least saw it used heavily in the 2007 NFC Championship game when the Packers lost to the New York Giants and Eli Manning hit Plaxico Burress several times with that kind of back shoulder pass against Al Harris, Packers cornerback Al Harris. Remember that? Not a good memory. But it kind of showed how effective it can be, and now the Packers are doing it, and you know, just Aaron Rodgers can throw that to any of the wide receivers that have been there for a while at least. I mean, I swear I've seen it completed to, you know, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson, James Jones. You know, I'm not sure I've seen it completed to Randall Cobb yet. You know, he's just been with the Packers not very long. But, you know, that's coming, I think. And I'm not, you know, it doesn't seem like JerMichael Finley's been a part of that too much. You know, he doesn't run along the sidelines very much, which is where that throw tends to be. On the sidelines, you know, and in the end zone. And JerMichael Finley's usually working the middle of the field. Not to say it's never been done there, but, it's something he's worked on with the wide receivers, and especially Greg Jennings. I think these articles came about today because Greg Jennings caught one this past game against the Packers, or I'm for the Packers. Let me do this here, folks. I'm putting up on the screen. If you want to call into the show, phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Once again, 646-797-2909. Feel free to call in with your thoughts on the back shoulder throw, or I mean, we can talk about anything you want to talk about. Are you sick about hearing about Cam Newton as me? Feel free to chime in about that as well as we continue to preview the Packers game against the Carolina Panthers this week. Also, in today's Packers Daily Links, after you get through the news about the back shoulder throw, looks like rookie tight end Ryan Taylor is going to play in the game this week. He was inactive last week after kind of dealing with a minor injury, inactive. You know, he practiced some last week, but I believe he was limited one day, you know, in preparation for the New Orleans Saints. But another article from Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying he's you know, working with all the number one special teams units this week as the Packers go to Carolina. And that's a good thing. As poor as the Packers special teams were in week one against the Saints, you know, especially the coverage units, I can't say anything really too bad about, you know, kick returns, punt returns, you know, extra points, things like that. But it's the coverage units that were really poor, and hopefully Ryan Taylor provides a boost for the special teams. In the same vein, an article in the Green Bay Press Gazette today, Pete Doherty wrote about how the lack of off-season workouts, practices, things like that, has really kind of affected the special teams. And you can understand that because compared to the offense and compared to the defense, where players are returning pretty much intact, it's the special teams that hasn't really gotten to work with each other. You know, who are the special teams, you know, core players? I mean, they're going to be Ryan Taylor. It's going to be rookie DJ Smith. You know, as far as returns go, Randall Cobb's going to be in there. You know, we're talking about players who haven't been with the Packers, you know, but since April, and haven't practiced since, you know, August practically. I think their first practice might have been the last day of July. But, I mean, Jamari Lattimore, the undrafted rookie, key player on special teams last week, and you know, probably will continue to be if Vic Sooto and Frank Zombo are still out. So, yeah, I mean, the Packers' coverage units really got to improve. I mean, hopefully we saw him turn the corner a little bit in the return game, which hasn't been very good the past couple of years as well. You know, I'm not, you know, it really bothers me because, you know, so much attention to special teams is spent on the specialists, you know, the kicker, the punter, the returners, the long snapper. You know, there's a couple guys, a handful, that have full-time jobs as being specialists. And those guys, you know, are pretty fine. But, I mean, the special teams are made up of mostly, you know, 10 other guys. There's 11 guys on the field. Only one is the specialist. You know, the kicker, the punter, the returner. Well, I suppose you could count two when you count the long snapper. But it's those 10 other guys that really, you know, they got to get their whatever in order. I don't want to use a bad word, but, you know, they really got to come together. And this can't continue to be an Achilles heels of the Packers, these coverage units especially. And, you know, hopefully the blocking in front of the return guy, you know, the blocking in front of Randall Cobb is going to be good. And you know, you just hope, you know, they're going to learn from last week's experience when, you know, they gave up several long returns. You know, we our interview with Tom Crabtree on Wednesday, he says they have to learn to trust in each other, know what each other is doing. And it's true. Tom Crabtree, you know, only in his second year with the Packers, still a fairly young guy. He's a core special teams player that might play on every special teams unit. I'm not sure if he's on everyone, but he's on most of them. So, it's got to turn around. It's got to turn around. Coverage units especially. Return units too. I mean, we saw one good game last week, but I mean, prior to week one of the 2011 season, they haven't been very good in the return department as well, but hopefully Randall Cobb kind of is the answer there as the Packers get ready here for the Carolina Panthers. You know, last night I wrote my against the spread column at Cheesehead TV. So the Packers are favored by 9.5 points, and the over-under is 47 points. And, you know, here's what I said. If you read the column, this is a little bit of repetition, but I wanted to give a score prediction here as well, which I didn't give in the column. But I said, you know, as far as the over-under, go with the over. 47 points. You know, what I saw from the Packers offense last week, I saw them score 42 points themselves. And that means if they can get a repeat of that, and, you know, it's far from guaranteed that they're going to get a repeat of 42 points again. But, you know, they're playing the Panthers, the worst team in the NFL last season. It's not all the question that they're going to be close to that, at least. You know, if they could repeat that, you know, they'd only have to get 6 points from the Panthers. And the Panthers are going to score at least a touchdown on Sunday. Packers aren't going to shut them out. Not on the road. Alex Talich, I see on the live blog, says, I see 35-14. John Rayhor, 38-10. And I think you guys are in the ballpark there. You know, I add those points up, and you're getting the over. So I think everybody's seeing the over. And I said, go with the Packers. You know, 9.5 point favorites, and I really like that number because it's not 10. You know, just those, you know, a touchdown and a field goal, you know, those numbers tend to come up a lot in the NFL. You know, just kind of common or frequent, you know, combinations of field goals and touchdowns, 10 points like that. So I like the Packers at minus 9.5 points. I'm not sure I'd like them at 10. But, you know, I probably would for a couple more points yet. But it's really nice at 9.5. My score prediction here for this weekend, 35-20 Packers. 35-20. Some people are going to get on me, I'm sure, for guessing that the Packers defense is going to give up 20 points to the Panthers. But, you know, Cam Newton looked good last week. I they'll score. And the Packers' defense didn't exactly look stellar a week ago. I think they'll look better against the Panthers. You know, but all that matters in the end, if you're a Packers fan, is that they come away with the victory, no matter what the score is. I said on just K107 prior to the show, if the Packers come away with a one-point victory, they'll take it. They'll take it. Jamie George says, I had the Packers giving up 17. Can easily see two TDs and a field goal. Yeah, I think we're all in the ballpark here as far as what's going to happen on Sunday, at least from the comments I'm seeing from the live blog. Pardon me if you're watching the podcasted version of the show or listening to. You got to check us out live if you are. 8:30 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, Friday now during the season. That's our new schedule here at Railbird Central. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Glad to be doing the new schedule this season. A little more regular schedule as opposed to the Tuesday, Fridays we were going last season. Kind of a weird combination of days, Tuesday, Friday. Anyhow. So, you know, the Packers' defense has to improve. One guy I didn't see get a whole lot of press this week. And you know, I suppose that he wasn't really deserving of it. But, you know, I just wanted to point out here briefly. There's a Packer that's leading the NFL after 1 week. So, again, I mean, small sample size here, 1 week. But safety Morgan Burnett is leading the NFL in tackles. I just thought I'd point that out. Haven't seen that pointed out much at all this week. And, you know, I've said this before. If a safety is making the most tackles on the team, that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, unless that safety is playing near the line of scrimmage in the box, you know, then it would be fine. But unfortunately, a lot of Morgan Burnett's tackles came downfield after completed passes, things like that, in the secondary. Not the first level, not the second level, but the third level. Not to say that he didn't make some tackles up closer to the line of scrimmage, but, you know, a lot of his tackles came after completions by the Saints. So, but you know, it was a positive to see Morgan Burnett, though, you know, be a solid tackler. You know, it's not like the guy was getting burned out there against the Saints. It's not like he was missing a whole lot of tackles. He was reliable back there. And I think that's noteworthy. I think that's worthy of a kudos from me, at least. So I just thought, you know, here's the chance for Morgan Burnett to get a little bit of love. And so a good job in week one. And you hope that those impact plays will just keep coming for a guy like him. The interceptions will come. The forced fumbles will come. Things like that. And you hope he has less tackles going forward. Fewer than 14. We don't want Morgan Burnett to be the leading tackler by the end of the season. If he makes them near the line of scrimmage, go ahead. But, you know, he's not the kind of guy that's going to be playing near the line of scrimmage all the time. So, Jamie George comments on a live blog. Ball hawk. Yeah, hope so. Hope Morgan Burnett can notch an interception here sometime soon. We saw a really good play out of him in the preseason. So, anyhow. The Packers defense as a whole has to improve. They can't afford to give up 422 yards against Cam Newton this week. You know, if Cam Newton can throw for over 400 again at a home environment, You know, that's not going to bode very well for the Packers if they throw for 400 yards. And you would think, you know, the Packers aren't going to give that up. I mean, the Packers defense is so much better than the Cardinals, who the Panthers faced in week one. But, you know, the skill position players for the Panthers are good. You know, the jury's still out on Cam Newton overall. But, I mean, he's got Steve Smith to throw to. They've got that nice stable of running backs in D'Angelo Williams. And I know the number two, number three wide receivers, those were young guys last year who now are a year older and a year wiser. And then didn't the Panthers go out and get a bunch of tight ends? You know, who do they have now? Do they have Shockey? And is it Greg Olsen from the Bears? You know, so they're much improved in that position as well. So, I see the comment here from Jeff Vandenorth on the live blog. The defense is going to get better. We have potentially five Pro Bowlers on D. Raji, Matthews, Williams, Woodson, Burnett. I mean, you can add Nick Collins to that list as well. Even A.J. Hawk was a defensive replacement. You know, he wasn't voted to the Pro Bowl on the initial vote, but, you know, after injuries occurred to other players, he would have played in the Pro Bowl last year. You know, I'm not sure I'd consider A.J. Hawk a perennial Pro Bowler. But, you know, last year he had a solid year. Solid, not spectacular. So lots of good players. And, you know, lots of good role players. Ryan Pickett is just so good at what he does. You know, he's never going to get headlines. But a guy like Ryan Pickett, he's so good at what he does. And he's solid. He's always out there. You never have to worry about him getting injured. I mean, he's been injured in the past, but it's been so infrequent. You know, he's a guy you can rely on. BTF asks a question here. So if Williams is out Sunday, does Woodson go outside and Bush play in the slot? That's a good question. You know, I would have to think that they will use Jarrett Bush on the outside and Woodson versus the slot receiver. I mean, that's where Charles Woodson is the best. And, you know, the reason they don't want him on the outside is because he doesn't have the speed anymore to keep up with the wide receivers, you know, the fast guys. And Jarrett Bush does. I mean, you know, say what you will about Jarrett Bush, but he has the speed. You know, he might get lost, you know, if he's got to turn his back. But he does have the speed to keep up with wide receivers. And, you know, at least you hope he doesn't get beat deep. But, I mean, Charles Woodson, you know, that's where he's best, is the slot. I mean, he can just be used as a jack of all trades. You know, he can be used on the blitz. And he's so good in run support, so good. And that's where they're going to want him. So I think Bush does play on the outside if Williams doesn't play. And so, I mean, if you haven't been following with the Tremont Williams soap opera, not that there's big controversy or anything, but, you know, Tremont Williams hasn't practiced yet this week. Through 2 days, he sat out of practice Wednesday and Thursday. And, you know, they're going to practice this afternoon. We'll see what the update is. But, you know, I wouldn't hold out hope that he's going to practice, but you never know. Coach Mike McCarthy, I believe, said, you know, there's a chance Williams could play without even practicing this week. They're trying to give him as much rest as possible, recovery from last week's game, and it's good that he's had 10 days as opposed, you know, playing Sunday to Sunday. You know, they played last Thursday last week, so he's had extra time to recover from this shoulder bruise, apparently. You know, I think the Packers should err on the side of caution. If that shoulder isn't, you know, ready, if he's not ready to go and play with abandon and make, you know, forceful tackles, no use in playing him and injuring it again or making it worse. If he's ready to go, by all means, put him out there. You know, but no use to rush him back and injure that thing more than it already is. The Packers, I think, can get away for 1 week, especially against the Carolina Panthers, with, you know, Jared Bush back there, with Pat Lee moving up to the dime position if need be. So, we'll see. You wonder if a guy like Devon House, you know, might eventually be able to play some of these positions. You know, he's obviously not ready yet. You know, he was injured a lot in the preseason. Then when he did come back at the end, he wasn't exactly, you know, set the world on fire in those last few preseason games. But, you know, you hope a guy like him just improves. And who knows, maybe by the end of the season, you know, he takes over for Jared Bush maybe by the end of the year. But it's not happening this week. Not happening this week against the Panthers. For what it's worth. John Rahor on our live blog comments. Bush on the outside equals cover my eyes every time the ball goes his way. Maybe he'll come up with an interception like he did in the Super Bowl, though. Gotta give Bush credit. He's improved. He's improved from where he was as a rookie. Oh, man, that was awful as a rookie. You know, he still has issues, but he's improved at least. We'll give him that. So what we're going to do now is it's just about 9 o'clock, or is 9 o'clock, I guess. We're going to play the Jarius Wynn interview that was previously recorded. We're not having Jarius on live this week. Again, the Packers' schedule this week has made it a little bit difficult because they were practicing Monday, things like that, you know, things they don't normally do. But anyway, we were lucky enough to get a exclusive live interview with Packers defensive end Jarius Wynn, and he said some pretty interesting things, some things I think you're going to like. So let me get this queued up here. And we're listening to Jarius Wynn. Welcome back to Railbird Central. We're talking to Packers defensive end Jarius Wynn. Jarius, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
What does it mean to start the season 1-0?
Oh, man. This is one of those great feelings, you know. It's definitely a confidence. You know, great combination, you know, that your hard work paid off during off season. I know that mine did. And just, you know, just around some great guys, and I'm glad we got the win.
You personally had a impressive performance in week one. 4 tackles, 1 for a loss, a sack, a hurry. How did you grade out?
I graded out pretty good. I graded out a 80, I think like an 89. So, you know, that was pretty good, you know, but reach for greatness, so I just got to keep working, you know, get better each and every day and take everything in and never look back.
Was that your best game as a professional, would you say?
I got to say it was. You know, I had a good game when I had that sack against Brett Favre, but, you know, it wasn't nothing close to this game. I think that was one of my best performances.
Yeah, many people are going to remember that play. There was one play, though, in the Saints game near the goal line in which you were knocked to the ground, got up, and made the tackle. It surprised me. Did that surprise you?
It definitely surprised me. I tried to read the backfield of the person there where I thought it was going to run the ball because we supposed to have another D lineman out there. But, you know, they had got their call mixed up, so I was the only one out there in the middle, so I was just like, I just got to try my best to read it right and make the stop. And I kind of got knocked down, but, you know, some people get knocked down, you just got to get back up.
The defense barely played in the base 3-4 Oki against the Saints. You looked very comfortable in the nickel defense. Are you going to be as comfortable in Oki when you play there going forward?
Yeah, I feel like I am. I feel like, you know, I work hard to get to this situation, and when it comes, I feel like it'll be about the same thing, you know. I feel confidence playing in the position.
The team as a whole did very well against the run with only two defensive linemen in the week one game. How did you guys do it with only two big bodies in there at any one time?
Oh, man, those guys, you know, Ryan Pickett and DJ Rossi, they do a great job. Even Howard Green and CJ also. So we just do what we coached to do. You know, we work hard to be the best, and, you know, it really paying off for us. So we just got to keep going, stay humble, and keep working.
With the news that Mike Neal is going to be out several weeks, I suppose that might mean there's less rotation among the defensive linemen and more playing time for the guys that are out there. Are the defensive linemen ready for that?
First of all, I want to say I just hate that, you know, Mike Neal went down like that, you know, his injury, you know. But I feel like the D-line, you know, we always go through different things, and we just have to, you know, take it as it is and step up. And I feel like we do a great job at doing that. So I feel like we'll definitely be ready.
Your opponent on Sunday, Carolina quarterback Cam Newton, made some headlines with the 422-yard passing performance. I'm sure you've watched film on him. What were your reactions?
You know what? Watching him in college, you know, we really just started watching film today, really getting a good look at him. But he always been impressive, you know, can run, throw. So, you know, we just got to come and play our best game. And I feel that's what we will do. We will come out and play the best game. And, you know, just got to keep Cam in the pocket, not let him roll out, you know, get to make those different passes. And, you know, our guys on the back end will cover good. So I feel like we're going to do great regardless.
Yeah, Newton seems like a threat to both pass and run. Has there been particular attention to that, his dual threat capability in the game plan?
Say it one more time.
Has there been particular attention to the Cam Newton being a dual threat to both pass and run?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, he can definitely run at any time. You know, that's why we got to start our P's and Q's and, you know, keep him in the pocket. Yeah. Just make him, you know, make all the throws from inside the pocket if in that case.
Jarius, that'll do. Thank you very much, and good luck this weekend against the Panthers.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Jarius Wynn for joining us on the show. Some interesting things coming from him, saying last week against the Saints, his best game ever as a pro. But the one before that probably was the sack against Brett Favre in last season, 2010. Yeah, that was a pretty big play. Became, if I'm correct, the first Packer ever to sack Brett Favre. But thanks to Jarius Wynn for joining us. That's going to do it for Railbird Central today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. As we get ready for the Packers game against the Panthers this Sunday, noon Central Time against Carolina. And we'll be back on Monday here at Railbird Central. And I believe we're going to have a live interview with tight end Tom Crabtree on Monday morning. So we'll see you then. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a good weekend. Go Pack, go.